0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Mary, is Mary, are you there? Mary.
I am, Joe. I heard you last me yesterday.
I'm sitting here for the last 24 hours, Mary. I haven't been able to go home. What happened? You rang, left a message. We rang you back. And then when I started talking to you, you were talking to someone. You weren't talking to Joe. Who were you talking to, Mary?
What happened really was, I have been in hospital there recently. I saw one of my friends, Gertie, coming in the path.
Gertie. How is Gertie? Mary, how is she?
She's very good. And I was delighted to see her. Now, they hear the doorbell again. They know you're on, Joe, to me.
Okay, don't answer this time, Mary. So Gertie came in. You're holding on to talk to Liveline. And then Gertie, you put down the phone on your table or your chair or your lap.
And Gertie and myself, as your researcher and Annette said, that we were having a great chat.
You were a great catch-up when you were talking. You want me to tell you some of the things you were talking about? You were talking at one stage... There was nothing. You were talking at one stage about the Magnificent Seven. What's all that about?
No, that was... My surgery, I was in a wonderful place altogether. I'd like to, acknowledge that the health service get enough of bad publicity. But this is, it was Rivers Care Centre, the transitional unit there. I was in there for 3 weeks, a day, I think. And it's second to none.
What's the name of the centre again, Mary?
It's Riverstick Care Centre. Riverstick Care. Unit.
How did the Magnificent Seven come in?
Well, you see, that's part of their magnificence. they have a wonderful activities committee.
Okay.
And there's something on from, I think about 10 in the morning until 7 at night.
The
team is led by 3 people. Yeah. And they're absolutely brilliant. So every Wednesday, there's one of the rooms is turned into cinema. And it's like there was the Magnificent Seven, and there was the one I didn't see, the other one. We never had it so good, or it's never been so good.
That's what I heard. You were telling Gertie about the Magnificent Seven.
And Joe lost me.
And I lost you. Okay, and then when I came back to you, I was shouting down the phone. I was whistling. Where did you put the phone, Mary? When you were talking to Gertie, did you put it on your lap?
No, I don't think so. I might have put it by the floor or something.
Now, the second thing is, I heard that there's appointments for something tomorrow. You've an appointment or Gertie has an appointment tomorrow. Don't forget it. Sure you won't.
I kept it with Professor Vaughan and I had good news. So now, for if any of my friends are listening, Chrissy is back in action. Well, not right back in action, but Chrissy is ready to go.
And that's what they call you, Chrissy, not Mary.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Chrissy, okay. And how long have you known Gertie?
23 years. Because when Sister Martha founded an older persons club in Choker, and she was looking for people to join. She asked me and she asked Gertie. And Gertie has been treasurer for the last 23 years. I've been chairman. And there's a great committee there too. So,
Chrissy, I tell you, Gertie's looking very well, Chrissy. Being treasurer, isn't she? She looks fantastic. And Mary, can we get back? And you obviously love your chats with your real pals.
I do.
Okay.
I listened to Joe too.
But you weren't listening to me yesterday when I was shouting your name across the
room.
Mary, do you remember what you rang in about yesterday?
I do, about the rocks and the clove rocks and Linehan's sweet factory.
Because yesterday, for our listeners who weren't listening, who weren't around.
Because you said that the Van Uren was the only person in Ireland making them.
He said that, Crilly's, David Crilly, yeah.
A few years ago, anyway, Danny Linhan was making them, where his father, and I think his grandfather made them before him, and he's still making the all the hard sweets.
And I read out, because you said something in your message, it was about Lenehan's Sweet Factory, and David Crilly, he thought... That was, but they're the only ones in Ireland. This is how it started. Don't ask me how it started on Liveland. Somebody was looking for those holiday candy rocks. You know where you get them, Killarney.
For a wedding, they were looking for.
I was saying, you know, you were listening. For a wedding. And that's how we found David Crilly. And he said he went through a list of all the other sucky sweets and boiled sweets which he makes. And among other things, he said he makes butter nuggets. Do you know butter nuggets, Mary?
I do, but I don't know if Dan Linhan makes them or not.
We're going to ring him in a few minutes. And how long is Dan Linhan making sweets, do you know?
Oh, I think as long as I was a teenager, not today or yesterday.
Okay.
About 70 years anyway. Dan wouldn't be making them that long, but he's... Father before.
Okay.
Was, yeah.
And are they a little shop in Cork or have they a massive factory with 800 people?
No, they have a small store that used to make before they went in there because my husband's family worked out of it at that one stage.
Okay.
They used to make, you know, the plaster fancy things that were in the cinemas and all the ceilings.
Oh,
you know?
The fresco work, the work on the ceilings. Yeah, beautiful work, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what was in that store before.
Do you like a sucky sweet yourself, Chrissy?
I do. I love clove rocks.
Do you see clove rocks? And you see, David, well, I don't know whether you could hear it yesterday, but David was telling us yesterday, like, clove rocks are popular in certain parts of the country. Cough drops, not a person over the border sucks a cough drop. They're all sucked down here in the south, believe it or not. I don't know how we're ever going to have a united Ireland when half the country will suck cough drops and the other half won't go near them. Mary, will you say hello to Tony Linhan now that you've made him a household name? Tony.
Hi, Joe. How are you keeping?
Hello. Hello, Tony. Are you Danny's son, so?
I am indeed. The heir to the throne. I am indeed.
Right. And you sound just like Danny and your granddad as well. Sure, I knew him as well.
I probably do, I'd say. I don't look like him, I'm in trouble, I'd say there.
And Chrissy, did you say your husband worked with Tony's?
No, his granddad and his uncle. Yeah. Not with the sweet factory, they were plasterers.
They were doing the ceiling, Okay.
Okay.
So Tony, Mary rang yesterday. Yeah. And she was going to tell, she rang to tell us about Lenehan's Sweet Factory in Cork, in Shandon, near Shandon. But Gertie called, and the two of them, you know, Gertie is the treasurer of the Old Folks Club and Chrissy is the chairperson. So they were having a meeting about the ins and outs of the committee, and they were talking about Mary just had a brilliant, brilliant stay in the River Stick nursing home. Isn't it a transition unit, Mary? And she saw the Magnificent Seven there, and she has an appointment tomorrow, but she just wants to tell all her, she was telling Gertie this, and she just wants to tell all her friends that there's nothing to worry about when they heard about the appointment. She's hale and hearty. Tony, tell me, your company is called Shandon Sweets.
That's it.
And and you're beside Shandon, I presume.
We are indeed right in the shadow of Shandon Steeple. That's where we've been for the last 95 years.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And I wasn't far out.
You weren't far out, Chrissy. And what do you make, Tony?
Well, mainly our product is hard-boiled sweets.
Yeah.
We do every single type of hard-boiled sweet, from a clove rock to a cough drop, apple drop, rhubarb and custard, pear drop, you name it. If it's a boiled sweet, I'll make it.
And do you do rhubarb and custard?
I do indeed. They'd be a big, big seller, Joe. They would be.
Rosy apple?
That's it. They have the rosy, the sour apples, we call them. But we do. They're probably one of the biggest sellers next to clove rock, I say. The clove rock are just... They are just a staple diet of Cork people for some reason.
The clove rock, I didn't know that. And butter nuggets.
Yes, they'd be like a little butterscotch, butterscotch in a square.
Yeah.
And they get the name nugget, obviously, from the square, but they're a butterscotch, salted butterscotch. And they're,
wow,
one of the nicest sweets we make.
And are they a boiled sweet as well? They're a sucky sweet.
They're all boiled sweets. Sucky sweets, I suppose you call them.
Sucky sweets,
yeah.
And you do, you do jelly beans, so do Krillies, you do jelly babies.
Well, I sell those. I get them in.
Okay.
I do, because people keep asking me for them, and instead of disappointing them, I just bring them in bulk and just pack them off. But boiled sweets would be my 90% of my trade.
Okay. And do you do bullseyes?
I do indeed. They'd be another big, big seller. They would be. They'd be, I think, as far as I know, they'd be the oldest sweet we have. They would be one of the first ones my grandfather started making. The black and white bullseyes.
Yeah.
Humbugs, some people call them, but we call
them
down here, I suppose we call them bullseyes, Joe. Yeah.
And why did your grandfather, how did he get into this business? Because yesterday, Dave O'Crilly told us his father, John, he went to work in England, and then he worked with Mars. This is way back now. He worked with Mars Chocolates, and then he went to Blackpool, and then he discovered how to make the rock and how to put... By the way, he wouldn't tell us. He wouldn't tell us how he got the name in the middle of the rock. That's a trade secret.
It is. It's quite tricky. It has to be done backwards, upside down, and sometimes in a mirror, which sounds very, very confusing, but that's the only way you can get it to get into it and get it out of the machine in the correct order. So I won't even confuse you with that one, Joe. Google it. That's the easiest way to explain it. Like everything else in life. Yeah.
And how is your... I said yesterday to David, Tony, you're up against... multinationals, Nestle, Cadbury's, who are brilliant in this country, brilliant product, and especially if it's Irish milk being used and Irish chocolate crumb. How do you survive?
Like, it has been tough. I won't lie to you, Joe, with the COVID and everything else, it has been tough for smaller companies. But what we did, basically, is we stuck to our own kind of niche market.
Yeah.
And basically, what sells my sweets more than anything is the history behind it. That's what sells my product, is the history. You can get sweets anywhere. You can buy boiled sweets in any corner of the planet.
Yeah.
But we get people buying them because they buy into the history. They buy into everything else that goes with it. And I think that's the reason why people have been so loyal to us, I suppose, Joe, for the last 95 years.
And would Linehan's cough drops taste different to... Would they? Everyone has a slightly different recipe.
They would. We'd have slightly different ingredients in them. We'd tweak them slightly to other ones. But I would be biased and say ours are probably the nicest in the country. But then
that goes without saying, Tony.
I let somebody else decide that.
Yeah. And is it true? Someone's after texting saying the shop was burned to the ground accidentally, obviously.
It was indeed, Joe. We had a fire in, let me think there now, July 2019.
Wow.
And it gutted the building completely. So we had some big decisions to make. We closed it up for a month or two before we made any decision, and we got the go-ahead that it was stable enough to rebuild. So my father was retiring, and I was taking it over. I did, and I rebuilt it, got it back in absolutely unbelievable shape when they got it back to me, and then 3 months later, COVID hit, so we were closed again for another, a year and a half, maybe, do I say,
about
12, 14 months.
Yeah.
So between 19 and 21, I think I was only open for about 3 or 4 weeks in total, which was ridiculous. But like any storm, it blew over and COVID finished and everything. And today I look back and it's like, I can't believe that those 3 years have flown by so quickly. And it's back to about 95% of what it was,
which is great. Well done, Tony. And many of you would be working there.
There's only a couple, two or three of us working there.
Yeah.
It's a small operation.
It
was a lot bigger, but it just scaled down over the years and it suits me fine at the moment. Absolutely.
Now, I'd be worried there because Dave O'Crilly, he's a lovely man, lovely. So again, family business up there outside Newry.
Yeah.
And have you spoken to him before, have you?
I have. I've spoken to David in this week, but I have spoken to David on one or two occasions. I have.
I hope he doesn't want to buy you out.
I don't know. I could give him a prize to see what he thinks of it.
And do you like sweet? Have you sweet tooth yourself, Tony?
I don't. And you know what? Now, it would be the death of anybody working in this business to have a sweet tooth. It's like owning a pub and fancying your tipple. You won't last long, and you will not last long, and I guarantee you. They're just a product that I sell, and people love them, so...
Okay, and where do you distribute them?
All over the country, because we've an online shop, and I do a bit of wholesale. We've an outlet shop or whatever. So between the three of those, I can end up in any part from Galway to Dublin to Belfast to Donegal to Kerry.
Yeah, and are you in any of the multiples, as they say?
No, that's the thing, Joe. I stick to my own market, my own niche market, on a smaller basis, because there's no way I could compete against those.
But would you like to be in the multiples?
No. I absolutely love it being in this kind of a smaller industry, kind of a niche market or whatever, and it suits me to the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tony, it strikes me, it's just past 2 o'clock. Why can't I hear the bells?
You can't, because I'm inside in the office here with the door shut. I just told somebody, do not knock unless somebody is dead outside.
You're only on the radio. You see the way, Chrissy?
Yes.
Chrissy,
ask him, what does he do with the broth now?
What?
It's the leftovers. It's what it is the Chester cake of the sweet world. I have leftovers at the end of every day, the little scraps of the sweets, and I bag it and sell it. And that's basically what it's called, Joe, is Bross. It's the Irish for Bross cars, you know. It's on every rubbish bin. It's a weird name for a product, rubbish, but Bross is the Irish name, and that's what we call it.
Yeah, my husband used to love getting the Bross at the factory. Yeah.
The Brusque, man.
No, Brusque, not Brusque.
Yeah,
Brusque.
B-R-U-S-S, Brusque, yes, Brusque,
okay. We learn something new every day. Tony, somebody wants to know, are you online?
I am indeed.
Oh, are you? Good man. Under Shandon Sweets.
ShandonSweets.com.
Okay. Mary, what's your favourite sucky sweet?
Clove Rock.
Okay, and what's Gertie's?
Yes.
I laugh going out to her now, so I don't know. She brought me lovely grapes yesterday, anyway. She thought that I should have a healthy diet. So.
Don't mind your fruit. Stick to the Clove Rock.
Stick to the Clove Rock. Tony, would you mind sending, once Mary agrees to give us her address, would you mind sending around a few Clove Rock first?
I would indeed. I'd have no problem whatsoever.
And you can invite RTE.
I will indeed. Okay. I will, Joe.
Okay.
No problem.
ShandonSweets.com. Well done. Well done, Tony. And
thanks,
keep going, Tony. Keep going, will you?
I will indeed.
Of course you will. I Googled the... I think you're the... Crillies are 50 years next year. How long are you in business?
This will be our 95th.
Wow. Do you think you're the oldest? Not you, but the shop is the oldest in...
I think so.
Incredible.
It would be, as far as I know, between here and the UK. There was a place in the UK, Dobson's. I'm not sure if it's still going.
Okay.
But they would go back to around the 30s or 40s as well, but I don't know if they're still in production.
You see, in Dublin there used to be Lemon Sweets.
That's right.
Which is they're long gone now.
My grandfather actually worked for them for a while.
And then there was Clarnico over in Terenure. They're long gone.
They are.
So I'd say for boiled sweets, you were definitely... Well, we hopefully will find out. Now, do you still have the original copper pots and pans and moulds and equipment, or did they die in the fire?
Everything is like my grandfather left.
For God's sake.
Machinery, the copper pot. See, copper is the only way you can boil sweets in, Joe. It's the best pot to boil sweets in, for taste, for heat dissipation, everything. It's fantastic. So everything is the same as when my grandfather... The only thing that changes... are the faces.
Isn't that incredible? So you've equipment there that's nearly 100 years old.
And some of it over, because my grandfather had it when he started here in 1929.
Isn't that magic?
And it was old then, so I'm guessing maybe pre-1900s. Okay. Yeah.
Richie's... I know Richie's mints and silver mints, you'll still see them in the shop. But is Richie's mints still manufacturing up in Kilmainham? I wonder.
I think so. I think they are, as far as I know. I'll be open to correction on that one, but yeah. I think as far as I know, Joe, they are.
And are they still making a mint?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And are you making a mint in that business?
I do. I do indeed.
You wouldn't be the first cork man to make a mint, Tony.
No.
Tony, Chrissy.
Hello.
Yeah.
Now, Chrissy, I hope you were listening carefully to Tony. I was. And did you hear the due care and attention Tony took to Joe asking him questions? He didn't put down the phone and start talking to somebody else. He didn't. He actually locked the door and he said to them,
only come in here
if there's someone dead. So will you tell, next time you're on, Mary or Chrissy, as you're called, I know your name is Mary. Next time you're on, Chrissy, would you say to Gertie, only knock on that door if there's someone dead, Gertie?
Well, you see, she didn't knock at all. I ran out to meet her.
But you were on the phone to me.
Well, I didn't run, like.
That's complete disrespect. Okay, we'll send you around a bag of clove rock, Mary.
Of course.
Okay. And I'll share them with Gertie and the rest of the girls and have a good old chat.
There's nothing better. Nothing better.
No,
the best
no,
tonic.
No,
Chrissy,
no.
Mind yourself, darling. And to see you soon, I hope. Tony, continued success. Have Nationwide been in with you? Has anyone been in to film your business?
They have. Oh my God. I've done so many of them. I've done one with John Creedon as well.
Oh,
the
wonderful
cities around Ireland.
Well,
so I've done them all. I've done the rounds, as they say, Joe.
Okay.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
As you know, there's serious problems emerging with the school bus transport system, and one story just seems to be more harrowing and difficult than the next. Jean McCallick. Jean, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Will you tell us your situation with your son, your 10-year-old son, Owen?
Yeah, so he goes to Enable Ireland School in Sandymount. We're living over in Walkinstown, so we received his bus ticket early on last week and then got an email on the Friday to say that there was no bus, that they hadn't been able to facilitate the bus route, even though school was starting this Wednesday, as in yesterday. So it was extremely short notice, but it also a massive inconvenience and, you know, difficulty for the kids, because it's not just my son. Like, I think the school require 11 buses, and they're without four routes.
Wow.
That's a third of the buses. Okay. So there's a lot of kids now without their bus.
And tell us about Owen and why he has to go to this special school.
Well, he has quadriplegic cerebral palsy, so he's quite physically disabled. He doesn't have much of an intellectual disability. That, you know, he's a great personality, he has great communication. He's non-verbal, but he has a device to communicate.
Okay.
But, you know, a mainstream school wouldn't be suitable for him. He has additional needs. He needs that extra bit of care. He needs that extra time when he's learning. And he gets swimming here as well, which is brilliant for him. He loves it. So, like, a local school just wouldn't suit his requirements, so that's why we have to travel over here. And you know,
how long has it been going to that school? I presume he loves it.
Oh, he loves it. Yeah, he loves it. Now he's been in it just a year because we moved down from Donegal, and he started here at the beginning of the last school year. But he loves it. You know, even dropping him off this morning, seeing him with all the SMAs, like he just loves it. He loves all his school friends, and he also loved the bus driver and the escort that he had last year as well.
For you, what did that break mean?
Well, it's the only time of the day really that I can kind of get anything done really, and I suppose fight for all the other services that he needs, but it also helps me sort of refresh myself. And I have another son as well, and actually, like, it's just like, you know, those routes are so important to these kids. You know, they need their escorts as well. They need somebody with them in case they have, like, seizures or medical. But also, somebody else taking them to school gives me valuable time with my other son, who has to kind of play second fiddle a lot to the disability needs in our house. So I've lost that precious hour in the morning, one-to-one with him. And on the way home, I've had to put him into after school now, so that I can make both school runs in the afternoon. So, like, it's vital for my family and other families, you know, who are trying to work and raise their children and fight for everything. And, you know, it's really tough. And we've been given no idea of how long this could last. Weeks, months, you know, the whole school year. We just don't know.
Let me bring in Catherine Roster. Joe at RT.ie, 51551 is our text number. Now, we're specifically talking about the school in Sandymount here in Dublin, run by Enable Ireland. You have a child there, Catherine.
I do, Joe. Just to say, I'm chairperson of the Parents Association.
Oh, brilliant,
And to say to you that this is not a Dublin 4 issue, in case some of your listeners in the country are going to zone out. This is a national issue about children in mainstream and children with disabilities. I do have a daughter in school. She's 10 years old. She's a twin. She's been in that school for the last 5 years. And it's been transformative, Joe. She started with very few words, and now she can come up with three-word sentences. And she's learned to separate from me. I have never, you know, I only started to separate from my daughter in terms of a night away from her in the last year in terms of respite. Yeah. So the start of that progress was when she started school, that we would separate for 5 hours a day. And that's been the case with all the other parents. But it's brought on her language, her social skills, her independence, her confidence. And I mean, quite frankly, don't our children deserve the right to have that level of independence in society?
And Catherine, do you know what the problem is?
It's a very complex problem, Joe. The fundamental issue is lack of drivers. Okay. The money isn't there in the industry for drivers to continue to work. The second difficulty is getting buses. Since Brexit, it's been very difficult for some contractors to get buses from the UK. I was speaking to a subcontractor yesterday who wanted to buy 4 buses last year from an English company, and he only managed to get 2. There needs to be the willpower at a government level to actually address this issue. And I was speaking to a man who was on the radio yesterday speaking about it, Gary English from a company out in Lucan, and he told me about an amazing organisation in Canada where you can log in and you can book transport for your child to school. You can book transport if you're coming in to visit the area for, you know, a child with a physical disability, and you can book it anytime up to noon the day before. So that's an amazing service that they offer in Canada. But the issue is that Busairn manage the contract on behalf of the Department of Education, and then subcontractors are hired by Busairn. But Joe, what I can't understand is how subcontractors can hand back work that they are contracted to do and that there's no penalty. Like
if they say we can't get buses and we can't get bus drivers, how does anyone answer that? We presume they're telling the truth.
Yeah,
like Dublin Bus are on every single bus that's on the road. A lot of the buses are in the garages, as we know, but that's an issue for Transport for Ireland. They bought a load of electric buses and someone forgot to buy the chargers. And they would solve a major problem for a lot of people. But Dublin Bus are advertising. All they're short of doing is asking the current bus drivers, when you get on the bus, to have a look at you and say, God, would you not think of taking this, getting a job driving a bus? The money seems to be quite good. Does that affect the private sector, I wonder?
It does, Joe. It has taken staff from the private sector, and then a company called Go Ahead came into the market a couple of years ago. They took drivers from Dublin Bus who went across and so on. The other challenge is that our children, in terms of their disabilities, only 3 to 4 children travel on a minibus.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, the bus has to be adapted, so we can't use the others. I just think the government needs to support and subsidise the bus service for our children. I would love to think that they live in an equal world, but they don't. Our children are, you know, behind the start line of life. Let's be honest. I mean, my little girl was born at 27 weeks, so she missed out on 3 months of development before she was born. And we need that extra financial help to incentivize the drivers, to help them to get the buses and to incentivize the drivers so we can get our children to school.
And then you need a special, I presume, going back to you for a sec, Jean, I presume your own builds up a relationship with the driver and his escort.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, I go out to collect them from the door, and last year they did some crack over a Lewis Capaldi song, and I could hear him laughing before he even got off the bus.
Yeah.
You know, it's invaluable. And the thing about these people is, like SNA's escorts, they see the kids behind the disability. They're not seeing the chair. They're seeing the personality.
Course,
and for those kids to feel seen, there's just so much more to it than like a mode of transport. You know, it is that, but it's so much more.
Yeah. Catherine, do you know what the school itself are saying? Are they feverishly trying to get extra buses, or
actively.
Okay.
No, they are actually, actively working. The difficulty is that they don't provide the transport. It comes from Bus Éireann. And I believe Bus Éireann are also working on this, but it is just disproportionately affecting our children. They say they're short 1% of buses, but that's not equally, distributed. It's having an adverse impact on our school. But the school are doing all they can with Bus Éireann.
Well, as far as
one thing that your team might be able to do is to find out who is the special coordinator in the Department of Education for special education bus transport. I just found out this morning there is one. And I'd love to find out who that person is, that we can make contact with them.
Yeah.
I never knew such a person existed, but apparently there is one.
Okay. And if anyone has any ideas as well, as you say, you're not complaining about Enable Ireland.
No.
And in one sense, the whole thing of buses and bus drivers and shortage of buses is a perfect storm between Brexit and the economy and other companies offering better or whatever, or permanent pension, but whatever way it works. But Jean and Catherine, thank you so much for contacting us, and we'll keep in touch. And if you would keep in touch with us as well, we would be grateful. And if anyone has any ideas on how to recruit more bus drivers, how to get more buses. I know Sweden and Belgium are big bus manufacturers, but I presume a lot of people go with the company that they trust. And is there any single-decker buses in, for example? I know that there's loads of complications, but if anyone has any ideas, they're all welcome. Jean McCallaghan and Catherine Roster, thank you both. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And a reminder that you're all welcome tomorrow on the electric picnic weekend, but we're having our own electric picnic in Belfast in the wonderful Titanic Quarter, as it's called, in the Titanic Hotel, not too far from the railway station. And we've lots of guests, lots of comedy, that's the essence of it, and lots of giveaways. Totally, completely, absolutely free in the Titanic Hotel tomorrow. Try and be there if you could, please. If you could, around 12:30, 1:15. The programme starts live at 1:45. And as I mentioned before, after Hidden Assets on Sunday is Hidden Assets 2, except it's called Meet the Meaning of Life on RT1 television. And the special guest is the former Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Martin. It is a 100th edition of The Meaning of Life. And I think when I did the interview, we normally record a lot. We record over 2 hours, and then it's the job of the incredible crew and producers to try and reduce it to an edible and digestible 35-40 minutes. But I think they've done a magnificent job with Archbishop Dermot Martin Sunday at 10:30. Where's Richie's Mince? Ronnie.
How are you doing?
Is this Ronnie Richie?
That's me, yeah.
From Richie's Mince?
That's the same fellow, yeah.
And who founded Richie's Mince, Richie?
That would have been my grandfather, Joe, about 80 years ago. Came over from Glasgow, started the business here.
And where are you based now?
We're in Inchicore. Never really moved.
And that's where you've always been?
Yeah.
And do you, because I see them in the shop, but I see Milky Mints.
Yeah.
After Dinner Mints.
Yeah.
And is mints your speciality?
Well, that's where we really originated, Joe, in the first place. But we spread our wings since then into, say, the likes of Drops and Roll Packs and Chocolate Caramels and Eclairs. And we've about 50 lines out there now.
Oh, magic. Magic.
Yeah, it's great.
How was your Scottish grandfather, how did he get into the business?
I think he was wholesaling in Scotland, and he came over here with the wholesalers to set up a branch in Dublin. And they went back to Scotland, having not got on too well over here at the time, and he said he wasn't going back. He just enjoyed life here too much.
Wow. And he started his own sweet factory.
There you have it.
And was his name Richie, obviously, but was it Ronnie Richie? Or?
That was Hector Richie Sr.
Hector Richie. Oh, Hector Richie. Okay. Yep. And that was 80 years ago.
Yep.
And many people working for you, Ronnie?
We've about 30 at the moment, John.
Right.
Yeah.
And how's the business doing?
Very well. We've got great support. All the multiples and the shopkeepers give us a great turn in Ireland because we're here so long, I suppose. They know us at this
stage. And the name and the logo. Yeah. So identifiable.
Exactly.
Milky Mints are... See, I don't know why I do this, Ronnie. I half presume, because I did see your Milky Mints, and I do recognise the package, obviously, the distinctive blue and white. But for some reason, I thought you'd been taken over by some English company and they were making them. But anyway, it's great to hear that you're still going strong. It's great to hear that you've 30 people. And have you... Is there... Yesterday, we were hearing from David Crilly and today from Tony Linhan about the geographical idiosyncratic nature of some sweet eaters. Like
it
is a mouthful, yeah. And I'm sucking a Milky Mint as I speak.
Good.
To you. And I love. And by the way, what goes into a Milky Mint?
Well, plenty of milk, Joe. Anyway, you need worry. Milk, plenty of milk.
Yeah, okay.
You can almost hear it move. You remember?
Oh yeah. Great line.
Milk, sugar, and glucose.
Right.
That's basically the line. Very, very natural. All good here, as we say.
And David Crilly was saying yesterday that you cannot sell. You could try, but you won't get any. You cannot sell a cough drop in Northern Ireland. You cannot sell a cough drop. They don't like them. And whereas they fly off the shelves down here.
Well, you see, that's the thing. They're different areas of Ireland have different tastes.
Yeah.
You go on up through, and you wouldn't sell aniseed in the north, but you'd sell the cinnamon type of product in the north.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But down the south, they take clove down
that's
towards
right.
Cork.
That's
Lennon,
big. That's
Lennon
big,
chops
yeah.
a bit of rock down there.
Yeah.
So the different areas have different things. We try to generalise, Joe, and give everybody something to pick at. You know,
okay.
sort of way. So,
and would Milky Mints be popular everywhere?
Yeah.
Are they distinctly Irish in that when people go away, do they look for, did they have the goo for a packet of milk, like a packet of potato?
The lip, yeah, they certainly do.
We've
been inundated with calls over the years from foreign countries, people looking, where can I buy them? Now, the internet has helped us in that regard because they can buy them off the
brilliant,
Amazons of this world and whatever. So it's spreading a little bit, but we're not that interested. The home market is enough for us, so we just look after ourselves.
And in the multiples?
In all the multiples, yeah.
Yeah,
great support from them.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, well done. Well done. Well, many, many more years, Richie. Many different products, many different lines.
We're about 50 now at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
So we'll keep
and
going.
And you're not, I love Cadbury's in Ireland, and I love the way they've been very loyal to Ireland over the years as an employer and that. But how do you, like, to get into a garage, for example, to get into, to get space in front of the till, that's at a premium, isn't it?
It's very hard, Joe.
Yeah.
That's up to your sales force, your salesman. But you're in against the multiples and the money
that's
there.
What I mean.
And
yeah.
By and large, you're going to get the left field, if you like. You know, people will pretend you'll be in for a week, but you'll be gone the following week.
Yeah.
You know, huge pressure in the selling area, point of sale, you know.
And then they're doing offers on two bars for two Kit Kats or two.
Bog off, or whatever they call it.
Yeah. They won't get one free. So if I go into my local garage, the Circle K there in the Clontarf Road, Ronnie, what you're saying to me is when the brilliant staff are busy at the cash register, I should transplant any packets of Milky Mints I find
front and centre.
I'll do that for you.
Front and centre.
I'll do that
for you. Thank you very much.
I'll do that for you. And I'm asking the people of Ireland to once again rally behind Richie's. Rally behind Richie's and make sure they get a prominent position in all the shops. And if they're on a lower shelf, what you do is... You bend down, you pick up the packet of after dinner mints and Milky Mints as if you are just perusing them. But you replace them on the top shelf. Am I right there, Ronnie?
Front and centre, Joe.
Front
Bang
and centre.
Well done.
Okay.
Perfect.
Front and chocolate centre. Okay. That's brilliant. That's brilliant news, Ronnie. And I'm sorry for... Because I haven't been down that way recently. I used to was because I lived in Ballyfermot, obviously, and Richie's was always a big sign and big signage. So I'm sorry that I thought you had left the country and you hadn't. And many, many more years. You're 80. Tony in Cork is 95. David and John up in Newry are 49. They'll be 50 next year. So many, many more years, Ronnie, for Richie's Mints.
Well, thanks, Joe. And open invitation. Anytime you're passing, yeah, open invitation.
And are you sick of people saying, "Are you making a mint? You must be making a mint in there, are you, Ronnie?"
Making a packet. I've had it all.
Good luck, good luck.
Mind yourself.
You
thanks
too,
very
Ronnie.
Much.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant to hear. Where's Sean? Sean Latton, you're having a hope.
Hello. Yes.
You're having a hope. You're a lost cause. Not? You're a lost cause. Forget about it. I think I'm just you're wasting valuable time here on Liveline. Which are go on, make your pitch, so to speak. You've two chances.
My pitch is simply this.
Right.
A coin was produced by the central bank.
Yeah.
For the women footballers of Ireland.
Yeah. Vera
which
Powell's
is very
team.
Nice,
yeah.
Very commendable.
Yeah.
Best of luck to them. Yeah. Blah 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 blah. The Dublin team. First in history and our national game, remember. Soccer is not our national game.
Oh, true.
And there wasn't a word done for the Dubs for that. Now, I'm a pretty proud Dub, naturally. I would feel that way. But I think anyone, a fair-minded person, and by the way, I'm thinking here now of Micheál O'Meara-Hertige, who was a very highly respected man, a man after my own heart, a God-fearing man, a man that loves the game and loves all our culture, and would agree with me. Because I remember him in an interview talking about the previous Dublin manager that had a Heffernan, Kevin Heffernan.
Yeah, Kevin,
and what should be done for Kevin Heffernan. Now, I'm sure he would agree. Now, I'm Joe Nobody, okay?
Yeah.
But a man of his prestige, I'm sure, would fully agree with me on this one. And by the way, speaking to your researcher lady earlier on, that had been done at the time that they actually won it, they would have sold like the proverbial hot cakes.
That's true.
Not only in Ireland, not only that, like the Irish diaspora in America, Australia, Canada, and everywhere that you care to mention now. But it could still be done.
Well, they've done Luke Kelly. They're doing, for this, they introduced a 15 euro limited edition commemorative coin to celebrate the achievement. This is the key. It has to be a limited edition. To celebrate the achievements of the Irish women's national football team. Now, by the way, it's worth 15 euro legal tender. But I think they in the box and whatever you have in yourself, I think they cost 50 or 60 quid.
They're 65 euro.
Oh, so well done.
But 65 euro. But listen, I was telling your researcher, to speak to you, by the way, as a grandfather, I have lovely grandchildren, and I would have made a big sacrifice and bought them one each. I mean, I won't be around forever, for God's sake, Joe. I'm 75 years of age, or 78, rather.
Donald Trump is 77.
Well, there you go. Look,
not that old.
I've a lot more yesterday than I'm going to have tomorrow. They're being realistic about it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So what would you have on this dub coin? How would you differentiate between all the different players and all the different...
It would be simply a set of the five... There would be a coin for each year that they won it, right?
Okay.
Leading up to five in a row, okay?
Yeah.
On each, it would mention the Dublin team versus whoever they were playing at the time, Mayo, whatever it was, blah de blah. And it would also say on the first year who was man of the match in that year, right? And it could go 1 to 5.
You see, you're losing the run of yourself here, like most dubs. You're after getting your foot in the door saying you're looking for a coin. Now you're looking for five coins. You know what I mean?
You're gilding the lily. I'm going to gild it even more. When I was speaking to your researcher, I was looking for six coins.
Oh, good luck.
Now,
you're down to five. That's inflation.
The other coin was for the manager. Because I think, in all fairness, I think everybody, even Dublin's greatest begrudgers, would agree that Jim Gavin would have to go down as the manager of the decade.
Yeah, I think we must check this. I think for an individual to go on to one of those coins, the central bank coins, I'm thinking Catherine Lynn, the great Catherine Lynn was on it. JFK was, didn't they do one for JFK?
And our great poet,
Seamus Heaney.
Shame
Yates as well,
Yates as well, that's right. I have one of Yates as well, yeah. I'm into all that kind of thing. You know, them kinds, by the way.
Yeah, but Sean, they all have one thing in common.
Yeah, but the point I'm making about the thing, the for even a wrong, will we ever see it again? And certainly not in my lifetime, okay. I won't. Do you understand? It's a very unique national occasion. It's our national sport. Now, it's very unique of the occasion of itself.
But wouldn't it be, well, you could still
I don't think anyone would argue with that.
Okay, you could get it, all of that. Could you not get it in one coin? With the logo, with the years that they won it?
Well, that'd be up to, look, the central bank will give you, they're running the show on this sort of thing, okay. Yeah. My idea, I think, was had it been done at the time. Oh, by the way, if my memory serves me correctly, I do believe I rang your show suggesting this. No, I did, at the time.
And did you get on air? Did you get on air, Sean?
No. It was no that we get into it. And in fact, it was a male speaker, and he did say to me, you know, that's a very good idea.
I know who you're talking about. Sure, he's from Cork. He's definitely what you're dealing with. I'm trying to.
We're back to the 31 against one again.
Any message. 219 is when they got hit five in a row. And I'm saying, would you be happy with a coin that had a lovely symbol on it, maybe the Dublin arms of the
crest, and all that.
And then five in a row, but you wouldn't be able to fit all the names on it.
No, okay. But look, if we got a coin anyway, at least, to use that old Dublin expression, should I have a loaf is better than no bread?
Yeah, but then I'm not even going to go down that road of naming players, because some of them live around the corner from me, and people say, you're always mentioning Jack McCaffrey, and what about it?
Yeah, why not?
I know, but
Listen,
they all have, but Sean, you mentioned one, you have to mention them all. They're all brilliant. They're not doing it for money, as we know.
Look, I'm not the cleverest guy on the block, but I do like to think I have a modicum of common sense. Yeah. Now, I know you're going to put the 15 names of the guys that played that day on one coin, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I think if you did have to put in a name, at least whoever was man of the match on the day, you could fit that in.
Okay, yeah.
Now.
Yeah, and I presume there's a committee in the central bank that decides.
The
winning design. Yeah, the winning design. Design competition. Central Bank acts as an agent, Minister of Finance. Irish Electric Organization should celebrate figures. I don't know who picks the figures. Who picks the individuals? Artists and then artists and designers are based on their CV and examples of previous work. Then they're given a design brief. And then there is a numismatic advisory panel. And they pick, but I don't know who picks the actual subjects.
Probably you know what it is.
John. Probably someone from Cork. Someone from Cork or Kerry. We haven't a hope. Westmeath, Longford, Galway, Clare, Sligo, Leeds, and Donegal, Cavan, Monaghan, Louth. We haven't a hope.
Well, they're a man of integrity.
We have an
nationally and highly respected Micheál O'Meara here to give you around the same proposal before him. I think he would wholeheartedly endorse it.
Okay.
I say a man of integrity, a man that I have a lot of respect for.
He was in Croke Park there a few weeks ago, wasn't he? And he was.
That's right. He was in the commentary box.
And he was looking as hale and hearty as ever.
Naturally hoping they'd do the double and all that. Yeah. He's a man. Listen, by the way, I relate one little bit before. I know the time is limited. Yeah. In my own local, it was coming up to the last presidential election. Or one of them anyway. And I'm in my own local. Who was there? Only Bertie Ahern. Yeah. I know Bertie well to speak and say hello to him. By the way, Bertie, so I'll run something past you. Now leaving party politics out of it and all that sort of thing. A man after my own heart, a man who loves our culture and could be represented. Yeah. Micheál O'Meara here to give up president. What do you think of that? Well, Bertie says back to me, Sean, he says, I could certainly go with that. And I think anyone else with a bit of sense would go along with it as well.
That's a bit of inside information, Sean. I'll run down to Paddy Power for a flutter after this.
So now, there you go.
Okay.
I want to help my daughter Yvonne think of all this.
Well, come here, Sean. You keep bringing up to me your age, 78. As I said to you, Trump is 77. Okay.
I was reading
an article last night. I screen grabbed it here somewhere. Yeah. I reading an article. You know, he has 91 different charges. You know, he has 91 different charges against him at the minute. And apparently, someone worked out that if he gets the maximum sentence for those 91 charges, he'd be in prison for 327 years.
Is that all? Yeah. Of course, he'd get out for good behaviour at the end of it, wouldn't he?
Well, I can imagine him saying to the judge, you say, Your Honor, I'm 77. I'll never do 327 years. And the judge says, man, do as many as you can, Mr. Trump. Good luck, Sean. Back after
this
break.
Joe.
Sorry,
talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Sorry, you sounded like I was being rude there to Sean me on pal. I wasn't. Eddie, through the chair, you want to make a correction.
Just correct the record a little bit.
Oh,
right,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Very important.
I don't mind all this talk about the five in a row, but, you know, did we not do it six in a row?
Ah, you see. What's the five in a row?
I swear to God, we won it six in a row. Now, I had to be corrected, of course.
Well, you see, the five in a row was the record when they hit it, wasn't it?
Ah, but six in a row is the new record, Joe.
Yeah, okay. Do you support the idea of a special central bank commemorative coin for the Dublin GAA footballers?
I wouldn't, did. I'd have Gavin on it. Jim Gavin, the Honourable Jim Gavin. Or do you know who might be even better again?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, Cluxton.
Oh, Stephen,
He scored that last point against Mayo.
Well,
Rumour has it he took it from the end line.
Yeah.
It went so long. It took so long for that ball to travel over that bar.
And he's so self-effacing, isn't he?
He is. He's very good.
Incredible.
Very good.
Incredible, To think that he's at
40 odd years of age and he's still a star goalkeeper.
He's at the top of our national game.
That's it.
He's a hero for people, even outside Dublin, as you know. And yet he keeps himself. I think he works in permanent TSB or something. And
I don't know.
He seems to be when he landed back in the team, he was whatever it is. He was the backbone. Eight times he won the All Ireland. 16 times a Leinster champion. 6 times All Star Footballer of the Year. He was a Footballer of the Year in 20. It just goes on and on and on. He's a secondary school teacher. Would you believe this?
That's right.
I believe this, yes. Of course he is. In the wonderful St. David's CBS in Artane. He's on the school football team coaching staff. And what does he teach, Eddie, in St. David's?
I don't know, no.
You see, they're all coming on to me saying, I know this about Dublin, and I know that about Dublin, and you don't know that, and you can't tell me what Stephen Cluxton teaches.
I'd say he'd be a good PE teacher.
No, you're not even...
No.
You're not even... Well, you are a little bit warm. A little bit warm.
Not in the ballpark.
Have another go. Go on, what does Stephen Cluxton teach?
Go on, we go for English. Irish.
No.
No.
To do with the body in some parts. Biology.
Biology. Yeah,
not codology. Not codology.
Biology. But Dubs are great at codology.
<You're right>. Honours degrees. Okay, Eddie, thanks for that. Where is Jesse? Jesse Walsh. Jesse, back to Richie's Mints.
Hello.
Hello, how are you, Jesse?
How you doing?
Yeah. Well, what did you ring me for?
I rang it so when you had the programme on there, the bit on about Richie's.
Ah, of course, yeah, Jesse.
Yeah, it's about Richie's. It's a story about Richie's because I was born on Reardon in Chicor, Jamestown Road, down the road from Richie's.
Yeah, I know.
Okay?
Yeah.
And there was loads of fields. As you know, Joe, you were in Ballycarman.
Of course, yeah. Fields, yeah.
Yeah, there was loads of fields up around there, okay?
Yeah.
And we as kids used to go to, there was a man and he had a bit of, he had pigs.
Yeah, that was.
On a kind of a farm up the road.
Well, there was a lot of city centre backyards that had pigs, Jesse, back in the day, as you know.
Absolutely. And the slop, chickens in the back.
And the slop man used to come round. I don't know when he came round. The slop man
That's
with
right.
a horse and a two-wheel big cart, and he'd have big metal barrels, and you'd leave out your slops for them every week, your potato peelings and whatever else. And okay, so you're living in Inchicore.
We're living in Inchicore, Jamestown Road, down the road from Richie's.
Okay.
And Billy Bergen has his pigs up at the fields up the road.
Yeah.
And when we were kids, we used to go, Billy used to get, as you say, the man with the slop, went around looking for the slops.
Yeah.
But Richie's used to give him the rejects from the factory. Okay?
Yeah.
And he used to have barrels. He used to get a couple of barrels from Richie's, okay, the rejects. And we used to go up as kids and we'd delve into these barrels.
But they were for the pigs.
And we'd get loads of sweets out of them, bits of sweets.
And is that why, do you remember the name of that farmer?
Billy Bergen was his name.
Billy Bergen. Well, you see, Billy Bergen's pork. I remember that Billy Bergen's slogan is, our pork is very sweet and minty. And I can't tell you why.
Yeah. Richie's mint.
Well, they're still there. And Jesse, would you still suck on a milky mint?
Oh, I would, but I certainly wouldn't be delving into the barrels.
We put all that behind us with the tenements.
It was great fun. And my sister-in-law worked in Richie's and married my brother.
They were great employers.
So,
but Jesse, I'm wondering, did you tell your mother you'd been scooping through the slops?
Oh, God, no.
Of course you didn't. But I tell you... Yeah, there's a beautiful smell off your breath. Beautiful, minty
you
smell.
Very much so.
Okay.
And all Jesse, the best to Richie's.
Yeah, well said, well said. Tommy, your father.
How's it going, Joe?
Your father what?
I believe my father invented the recipe for Richie Milky Mints. I was hoping that. To see if Ron was still on the line to verify it. But he was the head sugar boiler up in Richie's. And as a kid, that's all we ever got was Richie's, unless he was making a new recipe for, you know, some sort of toffee. He'd been a slab home, maybe a foot and a half long and a foot wide, and we'd hit her with a hammer and he'd ask
hang on, Tommy. How did you come to believe that your father invented or came up with the recipe for Richie's Milky Mints?
He told us as kids that he done it, and we'd ask him, you know, and how'd you make it, Dad? And he said, oh no, that's top secret. That doesn't leave the factory. But he did say it was made with just milk. And that's what made it so...
Yeah, milk, sugar and glucose. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
And they're still going. Would you, as a family, Tommy, every Friday get a load of sweets?
No, he used to walk on Saturday morning and up to about 1 o'clock, and he only ever bought two bags of sweets home. And one was Milky Mints and one was Spearmint. The same size sweets. As
the
Milky Mints, you know. But he would bring home a slab of that and ask us what, you know, do you like that flavour? And like that. And he had another one he brought home, and it was like, I can't describe it, but it was lovely, but I never seen it in the sweet farm.
Okay, but you were he was testing it on his poor children.
Yeah, well, I had a friend.
You were guinea pigs.
Yeah, we were guinea pigs, but I had a friend that lived up the road, and his father worked in Roundtree's Macintosh.
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
When you went into his house and opened the fridge, you got Lion Bars and Kit Kats and all that. And when you come into my house, all you got was Richie Milky Mints.
Well, that's a good mix. You were lucky to get at it, Tommy, back in the day. You're lucky to get it. My father worked in Glen Abbey. When we opened the fridge, all that was in our fridge were pairs of tights, yeah. And Tommy, they didn't even fit me. And Tommy, how long did your father work in Richie's?
Till he retired.
So he worked there for 50, 60 years?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Before he went into the home, he was found on Georgia Street at 5:30 in the morning by a cousin of mine. And he said to him, where are you going, John? Oh, he said, I'm going to walk. He said, I'm at the meeting Richie.
Okay.
He had dementia. And he said, I'm at the meeting Richie. And he wants me to go back. He said, they're not making the sweets the way he did them. But as a kid, I remember he came back to, and he had he'd burned his arm severely, like from lifting up the kettle, you know, and he had big blisters on it. So he was one that would go into work, and he'd leave about, if someone died, he'd leave about 9:30 in the morning, go to the mass, and he'd be back in the factory by 11:30. He was a real company man type of thing, you know. He's got great work ethic. But yesterday you were talking about local family businesses, and there's a lot of businesses out there that go head to head with the big boys, you know. And
yeah, it's difficult.
If only people knew who they were, I think they get great support. Like there's one factory in Wicklow called the Irish Popcorn Company, and they supply the likes of Musgraves and Centra and all that.
Manhattan Popcorn are still open. Fingless,
but these are but these are a family business where all the kids work in it.
Ah, yeah, great. You know? Okay. So you reckon your father?
Up with the recipe.
Okay.
So I'd like to verify that. If
okay,
if
what was your father's first name, Tommy?
John. John Claffey.
So did John Claffey invent Richie's Milky Mints?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I remember hearing the story. That Dickie Rock's wife, the late Judy, that her father invented Rubex. You know Rubex?
Yeah.
Her father, in other words, Dickie Rock's father-in-law, he worked for Beecham's or whatever, and he invented Rubex. I wonder, is there any other unsung heroes like your father and Dickie Rock's father-in-law who invented things in Ireland that we do not know about? Okay, Tommy, go to meet him, Margaret. Where's Michael?
Is Dickie Rock out of prison yet, Joe?
Dickie is hale and hearty.
I heard he got 6 months for breaking into a fiver.
Dickie and Sil Fox are still playing snooker once a week up in the spa while under great form.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Tommy. Michael McCambridge. Michael.
Hello, Joe.
Everyone knows the second name, but you are connected with the legendary soda bread manufacturers.
Well, heard the great chat about Richie Milky Mints. Fond memories. Great business. And I just thought I'd share that. We're kind of that sort of business in Dublin since 1945. So we're 78 years going and still going strong. Great team of people here out in Rathcoole. We started in Renla.
Yeah.
Fond memories of Renla. Gorman's, pork sausages, Keegan's. Fruit and Veg, and Jimmy Eggington, Butcher, his brother.
Okay.
Played for Everton, I think, in Ireland. So, yeah, great, great times in Dublin.
And where many lines do you do now? You do the brown bread, obviously, we all know.
Yeah, do all sorts of brown bread, sodas. We'd have a gluten-free range as well,
of course,
which is going very well.
Yeah.
And then we do a few mixes, which we sell overseas to the Great Irish over America and the UK. And we just got an order today for Singapore. So,
oh, fantastic.
Getting all over the world, but it all started in 1945. So,
incredible.
Yeah, going well.
And how many staff at this stage, Michael?
We 50, Joe.
Fantastic.
50 colleagues working through 7 days.
50 families. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And do you distribute all over the country? Or are you strong in certain parts?
Well, Dublin is a great supporter for us because where we started. So the brand is well known, but we're down to West Cork, up to Donegal, and out to Connemara, all through Irish Pride and Pat the Baker carry our product outside.
Oh, well done. And what are you in the multiples?
Yeah, we supply
great.
Multiples and nice small retailers as well. The independents are left, we still supply them.
And is it still a special recipe? Because it is a I love them. I love them toasted. Is it still your own recipe? Obviously,
it is. It's my granny. It's genuinely my granny's recipe.
I don't believe.
Yeah, Ellen McCambridge from Kilmaine. She was a Murphy, and herself and her hubby moved up to Dublin to start a business in 1945. In fact, Joe, we met a lady recently out and about in a store who was at the opening of our shop in 1945 as a 13-year-old girl. And she was at the shelf, another shop, buying the Cambridge bread. So it was great to catch up with her.
Isn't that incredible? That incredible. Yeah. Great tradition. Great product. That's the main thing.
Thanks, Joe.
Great product.
Thank you.
Great product. Okay, well done, McCambridge's.
Good
McCambridge's
talking to
you. In all your shops. As support them wherever you go. And as I say, I love mine. just dropped in the toaster with a bit of butter and marmalade. You can't go wrong. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Ann Newman, quickly, Ann, quickly. I haven't heard of these in years. What are you looking for?
LLC gums. They were black gums, like the American hard gums. They were rectangular and in a cellophane wrapper. I haven't seen them in a good while.
LLC gums.
Yeah, I never did know what LLC stood for. They tasted like licorice, aniseed and cough drops.
And were they a bit stronger than...
They would have been strong. They would have been like the cough drops, but there was a flavour of them. And as I say, they were a hard gum as opposed to a sugary sweet.
And what were they? They were individually wrapped, weren't they?
No, they were in a long cellophane tube, like fruit gums, but it was a clear plastic paper or cellophane paper, and it was twisted at each end.
Now somebody immediately has been on to say that they stood for Lion's Licorice Gums. And they were made, this people are very quick, and they were made by Tom Murray of Dublin.
Aha.
But they're gone, aren't they? They're gone.
Know, can we still get them anywhere?
You see, I thought they were a very unusual taste. It was an acquired taste.
It was, yeah.
More an adult taste.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom Murray, I remember them in Boyle and Sweet Shop, but I thought they came in a long... packet, again, a cellophane packet, and they were deep black, and then you open them and all the sweets were it would individually pop out. If you're really serious, when is the last time you tried to get them? Talk to Joe.
About 8 years ago, I found a shop in Galway that had them.
Ah, well, hang on. That's a definite lead. That's a definitely...
I haven't seen them since, because I had a friend over there. She used to regularly go in, and anytime she's coming up to Dublin, she'd bring me 10 or 20 packets of them.
Okay, they were an aniseed-flavoured black sweet, and I think they were peculiar to Ireland. We're on the hunt. We're on the hunt. Bear with us, Anne. Bear with us. Stephanie, quickly before we finish.
Okay, Joe, very quick. When I was kids, Richie's lived on our road in Rackar.
Okay.
And when the grandchildren would come to visit, they'd bring out sweets and they'd throw them all around the grass verge. All scramble to get the sweets.
There'd be a grushy for the sweets.
Big grush, yeah.
In Panny Farm, where we lived, a good few of the lads' parents worked in Roundtrees, which is an Inchicore, long gone, Nestle's long gone. And we used to hang around with them only on a Friday and pretend that we really liked them, because we knew their father would be coming home that evening with a bag of broken Kit Kats and Rolos and Aeros. Oh, they were everything. They were absolutely gorgeous. And you remember jumping on the grass to get your Richie's Milky Mint, Steph?
Yeah, well, we'd be running around. They were wrapped.
Okay.
Well, there wouldn't be a penny, but they weren't on the grass.
So
we'd all scramble for them on the grass. And we'd always look forward to the grandchildren coming to visit.
Okay.
So we get our sweets.
Well done, Steph. Well done.
Thank you, John.
Keep on enjoying we've an incredible sweet tooth, obviously, as a nation. Sound was James Feeney, BCO Shane Galvin, producer Sean O'Gorman, and we'll see you tomorrow. Please go, but you can hear us either way, live from the Titanic Hotel in the wonderful, wonderful city of Belfast. Ray Darcy is next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.